Hi, this is Dan. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I trust that it'll encourage you and build your faith. If you'd like to connect with me further, visit my website at revivalnow.com. You can find me on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at RevivalNowDanSteep and Twitter at RevivalNowDan. You can also download the Revival Now app. Enjoy the podcast and share it with a friend. So we're talking about hearing God. That's our focus for today. And I wanted to share this thing with you. In fact, if you write nothing down from what I share with you in this broadcast, write this down. Listening implies obedience. Listening implies obedience. As I read through God's Word and look at all the places where we're encouraged to listen to what God says, in the Bible, there was always an implication. Listening meant receiving and obeying. Listening implies obedience. It's only in the days that we live now where, like, listening, I can listen to what you say. I can blow it off. I can consider it. I can put it on the back burner and go back and revisit it. But there's not necessarily a connection between listening and obedience in our culture today. But in the Bible, listening implies obedience. So just tuck that in there as we move forward in this broadcast today. Amen. And if you're joining us in the broadcast, make sure you say hello to me in the comment section and let me know where you're watching from. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. We'll springboard off from this verse where God speaks through the prophet Jeremiah, and he says, "Ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know, remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. Ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. Ask me." I want to share with you some practical steps, some practical guidelines to keep in line as we consider hearing God's voice. If you struggle to hear God's voice, have you considered asking Him? A lot of people don't. Just ask Him. "Lord, I desire to hear Your voice. Lord, with everything that I have within me, if You speak to me, I'll obey. Lord, I don't just want to hear Your voice and then put You back on a shelf and walk away and come back to You the next time that I need to hear from You. I recognize, Father, that I need to hear from You every day and every moment of every day. Speak, Lord, for Your servant is listening. If You speak, I will obey. You have my heart." Ask Him. It starts with asking. But one other thing that we take from this scripture is that God is speaking. God does speak. And He desires for you to hear. God is not speaking so that you cannot hear. If God is speaking, He wants you to hear. Amen. Good to see my friends joining us in the comment section. Carolyn, Shan, we've got DeFroza and Esther and Kone from Tanzania. God bless you all. Thanks for joining me. It's an honor. It means a lot to me that you would join us on this broadcast. And now that I know that you're with me, I'll try to improve on my speech. I realized earlier, like, I said something like let me, but I just said lemme. Yeah, I was just rolling my words all together really fast. God is speaking. He desires for you to hear him. John chapter 6, verse 44. Remember, if you join me late, in the Bible, listening implies obedience. John chapter 6, verse 44. Jesus said, "For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me, and at the last day I will raise them up." By the way, Esther, congratulations on your engagement. Very happy for you. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me, and at the last day I will raise them up. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws them to me. I need to speak about, really, this word speak. Right? God, speak to me. If your paradigm, the paradigm that you operate from, is that God only speaks in an audible voice that I hear with my human physical ears, you can miss out on the many ways that God speaks. Sometimes he speaks through a prophetic voice through someone else. In the Bible, we see him speaking to people in dreams and visions and actual visitations. God speaks to people through just a deep inner knowing, through an impression. Some people visibly see words or see images, even like a video playing before them. It's God's voice. And God's voice comes to us at any time, not just on Sunday at church, and not just through the man of God or the woman of God. He's always speaking in a vast variety of ways. For some of us, he speaks through our emotions. We can immediately feel what another person is feeling. He's giving us supernatural insight into another person. So, God, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. So, the Father draws people to him. How does he do that? Is it some magnetic force that just draws you to him that you have, it's irresistible and you have no power in that situation? Or does he draw us to him through circumstances, through events? Is God not always working through the events and the circumstances and the people in our lives to draw us to him? I would suggest to you that when the Bible says God draws us to him, there's an implication that God is calling us to him. Many are called, the Bible says. Few are chosen. He's drawing. He's speaking. He's moving and he's working and he's showing you things. I can look back at my own conversion and I can recognize in hindsight the hand of God moving and working through the circumstances of my life. He was even creating within me a dissatisfaction for my life and what was happening in my life. He was speaking. He was working. He was moving. So we have to open our minds to the manifold manners in which God can and will speak to us. Amen. Hey, Alfred, thanks for joining us from Tanzania, my brother. Give my greetings to all our friends in Mwanza. So we start out with this reality. God is speaking. He tells us to listen to him. In Jeremiah 33, verse 3. And he'll tell us things that we don't know about in the future. And then we come to John 6, 44. And we understand from the words of Jesus that no one can come to the Father unless he draws him, or comes to Jesus unless the Father draws him. And the manner in which God draws us involves his communication. Maybe I should use the word communication instead of speaking and listening. Next, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. We're talking about hearing God today. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. Jesus says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will share a meal together as friends." Notice, Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock, and if you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into you." The knocking, obviously, the scripture's not talking about knocking on the exterior door of your home. It's talking about knocking on the door of your life or the door of your heart. It's the scripture's talking about Jesus coming to you, seeking you out, that you might have a personal encounter with him. He knocks, and then the scripture says, if you hear my voice, in his knocking, in his pursuit, in this drawing by the Father, his voice, his communication is involved. Boy, Tanzania's in the house. Deborah, my favorite cook, thanks for joining us. And you're a great woman of God. You're not just a cook, and I know that. Pastor Alex, thanks for joining us, brother. Hallelujah. So there's a process. There's an understanding, first of all, from Jeremiah 33, verse 3, that God is speaking. And that's what he does. And he doesn't speak so that you can't hear him. This isn't like Jesus speaking in parables so that some would understand and others would not. Hey, Beth, God bless you. Thanks for joining us on the broadcast. And that when terms of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because this is where, once you're born again, you're moving on the path of intimate fellowship and communication with God. The Father drew you to that place. And Jesus is telling us, I'm knocking. When I knock, if you listen to my voice, if you hear me, if you hear my voice, and open the door. Now the door's opened, and we're moving into increased fellowship. We're moving into that realm where every promise and every blessing in the Word of God is available to me and to you. Now, listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 27. In John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Bishop Moses, thanks for joining us from Nairobi. The Tanzanians were overrunning the comment section. We needed some representation from Kenya today. I love you all. So, what do we know from this scripture? First of all, Jesus knows his sheep. He knows your name. He knows who you are. If you're not hearing him or receiving communication from him through the many ways that he speaks to you, don't ever assume that it's because God has chosen not to speak to you. He always desires for you to hear his voice. But there are many challenges and obstacles in this world that we live in, and with the assumptions, paradigms, and preconceptions that we have within ourselves about how God speaks and how we hear and who God speaks to and when he speaks and all of those obstacles that we have to overcome. He knows you. Now, this, what does he say? My sheep listen to my voice. So what is a sheep in this context? He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. So a sheep is a believer. It's a follower of Christ. It is implied, again, that God's people are listening to him, are making themselves available on a regular basis to hear his voice. Hey, Pastor Daves, thanks for joining us, brother. Appreciate your faithfulness. God's children listen to his voice. They listen to the Father. And what else do they do? They follow him. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow him. Follow me. Again, what did I say at the beginning of the broadcast? Listening implies obedience. Listening to God in the Bible assumes obedience to what he says. What is following Christ? It's obeying him. Following him. My sheep listen and they follow me. So we're moving from where we started in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, from understanding that God is speaking, does speak, is always speaking, and he desires for you to hear him. And then moving from what begins to position us to hear his voice better and more clearly. Becoming a Christian. Responding to the Father who draws you to Christ. And then coming into the fold. Becoming a follower of Christ. My sheep, listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. Jesus said, "There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. We're in a season of 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I understand many of my brothers and sisters in Tanzania are in a season of 40 days of prayer and fasting. So it's a privilege for us to join together and to journey together with the body of Christ around the world in a season of prayer and fasting. It truly is a privilege and an honor. Jesus is talking about the Spirit, the Spirit's role in our lives. God's moving us from just understanding that He is God and that He speaks into a personal relationship with Him. And now, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, Jesus spoke to His disciples and He told them about how He said that the Spirit is with you now, but He's going to be in you, prophesying and pointing to the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell on the early disciples. I wish I had the time to go into understanding the baptism of the Holy Spirit and why that is so vitally important for your life. But I have many broadcasts that you can go back. They're all available on demand on the Revival Now app, at revivalnow.com, on Facebook, and on our YouTube channel. Go back and listen to and study the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how it comes, what it produces, the benefits, and the benefits of speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit. This is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about to the disciples about an encounter that is coming with the Holy Spirit. And it's such an increase of hearing God. He says, there's so much more I want to tell you, but just understand this. When the Spirit of truth comes, He's going to guide you into all truth. How is He going to guide you? By speaking, by communicating, even through the events of your life. He's going to lead you into truth in God's Word. It says that He will not speak on His own, but He's going to tell you everything that He's heard. This is all communication from God. In fact, forgive me, but I forgot to even mention the primary source of hearing God's voice is the Word of God. He speaks more to us through His Word than anything else. So when you open God's Word, always stop and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you into truth. He will not speak on His own, but He'll tell you what He has heard, and He will tell you about the future. Holy Spirit will communicate to you not only about what's in the Word, not only about what He hears from Jesus, He's going to give you information about the future. He'll bring glory to me by telling you whatever, He's going to tell you whatever He receives from Jesus. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever He receives from me. What a blessing. What a gift. These are ways. Listening, following, obeying. These are critical components. You can't even be born again without somehow hearing or receiving communication from God, because Jesus said, "No man comes to me unless the Father draws him." That means every born-again believer has heard God's voice at least once in their lives. He doesn't only speak to and through prophets. Morning, Mom. Thanks for joining us from Michigan. I love you. He speaks to everyone, not only a select few. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He speaks powerfully and profoundly through his word. Most of us, we don't realize or we forget what a powerful, valuable resource that we have in our hands. We miss it. If you're desperate to hear God's voice, read his word. When you read his word, what's going to happen? Faith. Faith is going to be increased and build up. Faith to hear his voice. Everyone, or most of us, want to hear God's word more clearly, consistently, and accurately. The word of God assists you in that. When I know God's mind, his heart, and his voice from his word. Now, if you want to hear God more clearly and accurately, now you have something to measure and evaluate every word and voice that you hear. You've got the word of God. It's going to help you understand and determine what is God's voice and what is it not. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So turn with me to James chapter 4. In my Bible, every time I flip through it to get to James, I come to Hebrews, and then it flips right over to 1 Peter. And I can never just land on James. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. Because this is where we're at today. We've talked about God speaking in the earth, listening to his voice, and the process and the step to coming to the place where you hear his voice more clearly and accurately. When you obey what you hear through being born again, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and obeying God's voice, getting in his word, letting your faith grow, hearing God speak from his word. Now in James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. This will begin to speak a little bit more about how some of us are feeling in this season of life of fasting and prayer. The scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Part of what we're doing in prayer and fasting is humbling ourselves before God. You will not pray if you're not humble. You will not fast if you're not humble. Humility says, I need God. I need more of God. I need all of God, everything that he has for me. And I cannot make it and be successful without God's input into my life. So I pray and I fast. That means I pray urgently by humbling myself, even to the point of abstaining from food, that I might give myself more fully in worship of my God and to hear his voice. Verse 7, humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a promise from God's word. God did not say resist the devil and he might, or that one day he will. He said resist the devil and he will flee from you. As you enter into prayer and fasting, the devil will flee. He fled from Jesus in the wilderness, fasting and temptation. Now, here we are. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. There's a level of revelation, and we fasted for that, supernatural revelation. There's a level of revelation that comes to us when we're in a season of prayer and fasting. It just does. It's biblical. It's why God commanded it. There's so many blessings and benefits associated with prayer and fasting. And here's the interesting thing. If I said to you, what excites you about supernatural revelation? Or what do you think about when you think about supernatural revelation? I can't speak for everyone, but for me, like, I think about big things. And I'm really curious. I don't know how to respond in the comment section to get your feedback. But maybe just say this. When you think about supernatural revelation, if you think about the things that I'm about to describe, I want you to put a hand up, an emoji hand in the comment section to let me know that we're communicating together. When I think about supernatural revelation, I think about a prophetic word for the new year. I think about a major direction shift for your life, a business, your career. I think about supernatural direction like God guided the shepherds and the wise men to Jesus. Or how God spoke, to the wise men and told them not to return the way that they came and don't go back to see Herod. I think about receiving a prophetic word that is shared before the congregation of believers. Those are the things that I think about, and I'm sure there are more. Some divine strategy that will alter the course of my ministry, my community, my nation. Some direction from God that will provide the key to see millions and even a billion people come to Christ. But God's speaking through James. He says, humble yourself before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and he will come close to you. That's what we're doing in prayer and fasting. Now, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Something happens when you're earnest before God in prayer and fasting. He reveals things to you about yourself. When I'm in prayer and fasting, God, he shows me things about me. Is that supernatural revelation? It comes from God to me. God is supernatural. When I'm in prayer and fasting, when I'm humble before God and I'm leaning in with my ear to hear his voice, he always speaks to me about things within me. He reveals sin to me. He reveals issues in my life that need to be humbled and yielded to him. He tells me things about me. And that gives me the opportunity to wash my hands spiritually. How do you wash your hands spiritually? You repent of your sin. You ask God to forgive you. You practice 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. This is the process by which we have and receive clean hands and pure hearts. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. What is that statement? That is prophetic. That's supernatural. That's as supernatural as if a prophet stood before you and told you to wash your hands and told you that your loyalty is divided between God and the world. It's very interesting to me how much value people will put in something spoken through another human as opposed to what God says in his word, or as opposed to what God speaks to you directly when you humble yourself and intentionally crucify the flesh and lean your ear in to hear from God. I'm not really sure. I've thought about this. Do we hear God more during a season of prayer and fasting because of the miracle of prayer and fasting? Or is it more practical than that? We've slowed down as much as we can. We've committed to crucifying the flesh and to giving God a higher priority in our lives than food, than our appetite. We read his word more, and we pray more from a place of humility that comes by subjecting the flesh to the spirit during a season of prayer and fasting. So while we're fasting and praying, we're doing more of all the things that we should be doing more of every normal day of our lives. And we're hearing him. All we're actually doing, in addition to just doing more of what we're supposed to be doing in the first place, is we've added fasting to it. And God honors, because there's a great amount of faith. Right? And that's how we please God, through faith. There's a great amount of faith involved in honestly and earnestly fasting. We actually, during that season, we must depend upon God to sustain us and carry us through. because the flesh cries out until it understands it lost. Hallelujah. Well, I should finish the scripture. Let there be tears for what you have done. So repentance, humility. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Go through the true process. Godly sorrow produces repentance that leads to no regret. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, gloom instead of joy. Don't cut the process short. Sadly, there are large sections of the body of Christ in the world that think and believe that if you walk with Jesus, you should never have trouble. You shouldn't be sad. Anything that brings sadness or grief is of the devil and not of God. But in God's word, we have an invitation to even grieve over our sin. When we see it through God's eyes, we can grieve over our sin and grieve over what it has cost us and what it has created in our lives and what it has done to other people, the people around us. Don't hurry it. God is in it with you. And he ends in verse 10 with, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Sorrow endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It's not forever. In the morning comes the honor. God will honor you. He will lift you up in honor. And when God lifts you up, there's so many people live their lives trying to lift themselves up in so many ways. But if you'll humble yourself before God, if you'll follow his process, he will lift you up in honor. One of the reasons that we don't hear God as consistently and accurately as we should is we have sin in our lives. And here's a process. God will reveal it to you. If you ask him, if you're listening, if you're willing, I promise you he will. And it won't last forever. If you humble yourself before the Lord, he will lift you up in honor. Hallelujah. God is releasing new direction. God is placing new dreams within you. God is releasing divine strategies. He's doing it now. And I'm believing him for it. It is happening now. Faith says now. He's given divine strategies. He is releasing blueprints from heaven now in Jesus' name. This is a supernatural time of year. This is a supernatural event in prayer and fasting. In 2023 is a supernatural year. Mark my words. I'm telling you, I'm prophesying by faith right now in the name of Jesus because I don't even know, I don't see it. I don't know how it's going to look and in what form that it's going to come from. But in my spirit, I know it. This 2023 is a supernatural year. The devil has major plans that he's trying to implement in the earth in 2023. But the light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You watch, 2023 is going to be a year of signs and wonders. We're going to see, we're going to see great conflict. But God is victorious. What you're doing now in this season of prayer and fasting to start the year, it matters. It is significant. When you, when you're alone and you're struggling because your body is weak and your mind is fatigued and you're hungry and you're tired, know this day. What you're doing is significant. It matters. The reason the devil can't fully do everything that he wants to do in the earth is because of you and because of me. We are the restraining force in the earth. When you fast, when you pray in tongues, hallelujah, when you even offer your tithes, you sow your financial seed. These are supernatural mechanisms that God has made available to you and for you for such a time as this. And things are shifting in the supernatural. And it's only a moment, a matter of time, when we will see the supernatural realm manifested in the physical, natural realm. So don't lose heart. Don't grow weary. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he reap. What are you sowing in this start of the new year? God is releasing it. It is here. It is now in the name of Jesus. But let me tell you something. Listen to the still small voice. Listen to what you will be tempted to think is insignificant. Part of the, one reason why we don't hear God the way that we desire is because of the assumptions that we operate from. We assume that some of these small things, in our opinion, are not God. After all, I'm fasting for supernatural revelation, not this small thing that God is saying. Listen to the still small voice. If you're having difficulty hearing God's voice, ask the Lord if there's anything that He has spoken to you and you failed to obey. Just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that thing to you, and then go back and obey it. Because His voice and His revelation is, I don't know how to say it. It builds upon itself. Each time you listen, hear, and obey, it builds. There's a building effect. Let me take you to our last scripture in 1 Kings. 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. The Lord is speaking to Elijah. He asks him what he's doing there. They have some exchange, and then God says to Elijah in verse 11, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by. And a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And there he heard the direction that the Lord was giving him. If we're honest, we want to hear God in the wind, in the earthquake, and in the fire. We want to hear him in the big things. We want to hear him from big sources. And few of us are listening for the still small voice, for the nudge, for the leading and the direction to do something that seems small. It seems insignificant. But it's not. When you're in a hurry to go to the market, to the grocery store, and you just want to go in, get what you need, and go out, and you feel a nudge from the Lord to speak to someone, to pray for someone, to encourage them, or maybe give them something. For many of us in America, it's more of an issue of inconvenience than it is whatever God's actually telling us to do. Because we live under this illusion that we're in control of our lives, and the agenda that I have set for today is the most important thing, because our flesh dominates the spirit in our lives. We cater and we give in to the flesh, and the flesh says, no, get out, get on your way, and do your thing. But that's the still small voice, that when we listen to it and we obey it, the voice gets louder and larger in our lives and takes us to the next place. But the still small voice may be talking to you. Hey, Pastor Simon, thanks for joining us, brother. The still small voice may be talking to you about sin in your life, about flesh and carnality, about things to be repented of. You may want to stand up in front of the congregation and thunder with a powerful prophetic word that you heard from the Lord, but God is, He speaks what He speaks. Can you say amen? He speaks what He speaks. God does not always speak to me about what I'm asking Him about. He doesn't always speak to me at the time that I'm making myself available for Him to speak. My goodness, I know I'm speaking to people right now. He speaks when He speaks. And we have to obey. There have been times when I'm preparing message for a crusade, or I'm preparing something to share in a broadcast or whatever it might be. And this is the time that I have allocated in my schedule to prepare for this. But God speaks to me about something 6 months away. And He actually downloads for me the entire message or the strategy or whatever it is. If I don't listen to Him and write those things down, then I lose it. I don't know why, but God's agenda does not always line up with mine. So listen to his voice. So in those times, by the way, I would go ahead and develop whatever that God gave me, whatever he spoke to me, and I would just trust him for the thing that I need tomorrow. I would have to trust him for my daily bread. And I've gotten to the place, it still makes me a little uncomfortable, but I've gotten to the place where I'm like, I'm just glad that God speaks to me. And if he's given this to me now, there has to be a reason why. And I'm not going to question him. I'm going to be obedient, listen, write down what he gives me, do what he tells me to do, and trust him. Because I know, I've even said it to him before. God, I know this isn't what I think I need right now, but if you're giving it to me, I know there's a reason and this is what I need. So I receive it, and then I trust him for the next thing. Sometimes those divine interruptions into our human schedule, it's his still small voice. I'm amazed by the still small voice of God. If you're listening to this broadcast and you've never actually received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I beg you to take this opportunity to do that now. There's somebody watching this broadcast, live or recorded. You stumbled upon it. You thought you were listening for one thing, but here you are and you realize you've never actually put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. God's been drawing you, the Father's been drawing you, but you haven't said yes. Maybe you didn't know how, you didn't know you need to. None of that really matters. You're here today, and today is your day. I'm going to offer a simple prayer of salvation. If you'll repeat this prayer, it's a biblical prayer, and if you'll repeat it out loud after me, you can receive your salvation today. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So make this confession with me as you repeat this prayer after me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I admit that I have sinned. I believe Jesus died for me, and he rose from the grave to give me victory over sin and death. I confess my sinfulness. I repent. Please forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and make me a new person. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Faith says it is done. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When you prayed that prayer with me, you called on the name of the Lord. So by the authority of God's word, you are saved today in Jesus' name. You're born again. You're a Christian. And you're on your way to heaven, not because of anything that you've done, but because you have Jesus in your heart. If you prayed that prayer with me, please go to our website at revivalnow.com. Revivalnow.com. On the front page of the website, there's a big red button that says, I just got saved. Click that button, and it'll take you to a place where you can watch some video resources that I've prepared to help you get started in your Christian life. And you can also fill out your contact information. And if you'll fill out your contact information in its entirety, we're going to send some resources to you to help you get started in your Christian life. So go to revivalnow.com, click I just got saved, and follow the prompts from there. I love you. It's been an honor. Until next time, be blessed in Jesus' name.